2, For the Love of Dog, with Janice Wolf and the whole menagerie. We've got Brandy here, and we've got Whispity Bunny Dog here, and we've got Wyatt, and we've got little Lexi, and we've got the rest of our crew all waiting to talk to you guys who are listening out there. And let's see what wonderful things we can do today. Well, you know, it's a Friday, and, you know, the weather has looked kind of cool and kind of nice. But, you know, it's also going to be Halloween, and that presents a problem for a lot of people. If you have a dog who, let's say, isn't the greatest when the doorbell rings, there are things that I can give you information today that's going to help you tomorrow. One of the things is when a dog comes in or the person comes in with a costume, most of the time, dogs don't realize that it's a human. And sometimes you'll even see dogs dressed up. So if a dog is dressed up like a devil or like something else, then obviously the dog may not realize, your dog may not realize, hey, this is a human. Hey, this is a puppy dog. So let's talk about some of the great ways that you can work with your dog at Halloween to make it a lot more pleasant when those doorbell ring. All right, well, first thing. What do you think dogs think when somebody shows up at your door dressed like a ghoul or dressed like a bunny or dressed like anything other than a human? Well, of course they think that, hey, mommy, somebody's going to try to steal stuff from our house and somebody might try to hurt you. I'm going to protect you because I'm your dog. So what do? We yell at our dogs, knock it off, shut up, stop it. It's only the kids next door. It's only your sister-in-law. It's only whatever. But the problem is, and now it's great because the new Peanuts movie coming out, dogs don't hear, it's only grandma. It's only your cousin Zoe. What your dog hears is, wah, 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 like Charlie Brown's mother when she's kind of complaining to him or the kids. They don't understand. They don't hear the words. They don't understand the words. They just understand the sentiment. And for a dog, they think you're barking louder than they are. Well, heck, if you're barking louder than they are, there must be a reason, right, that you're joining in barking. And that's really what happens. So what we want to do is change that all up. When people come to the door, don't lock your dog up, obviously, unless your dog is like Cujo and he's going to go kill somebody. But the average dog, you should be getting them used to things during the year. So let's say, for instance, if your dog gets reactive at the front door. So I have a phrase I always say, danger rings doorbells. So when you come into your house, do you typically ring your doorbell or knock? Of course you don't. Why would you ring your doorbell to go into your own house? But who does ring a doorbell or knock? Well, the strangers, the delivery guy from the pizza place, or the Chinese restaurant, or the Uber guy, whoever it is, they are going to knock on your door or ring your bell. So when they ring the bell, your dog automatically looks and says, ah, mommy and daddy and sisters and brothers, they don't ring a doorbell. They don't knock. So it must be danger. So it's danger rings doorbell. Some people call it stranger danger, but mine is danger rings doorbell. So how do we change that? First of all, when you come home at the end of the day and you come home from work, you should be knocking on your door. I know you're saying, why, Janice, would I knock on my own door? Because your dog will look and say, oh, sometimes it's mommy at the front door. Sometimes it's daddy. Sometimes it's my sister. Sometimes it's my play date. It's not always a stranger danger. It's not always danger ringing doorbells. It's oftentimes, just very simply, that we don't acclimate our dogs to the same sounds that strangers make. The other thing is the placement of the door. How many of you go in through your front door? I'm one of the few people I know who actually uses my front door as well. Sometimes I do come in through the back door or the garage door. But most of the time, I come in through the front door. Well, how many of you do that? How many of you actually do that where you go and you come in and out through your front door. Probably not many. Many of you are coming in and out through the garage door. So now when dogs hear us coming in through the door, they're not assuming that there's danger there. Why would there be danger there? There shouldn't be danger. It's coming in. It's either mom or dad or sister or brother who are coming in through that entry. However, boy, that front door, when that front door bell goes, it's got to be danger. And it's so convenient, dogs must think we're idiots. I mean, many of us are idiots, but dogs must really think we're idiots. These humans, they let you know when there's going to be a stranger. They actually ring a bell for you so you can tell. It's like if you were a dog and you were thinking like a dog, and if you were thinking, I wonder how I can tell who's coming in. I wish these people, these humans, would come up with a way of alerting us so we knew that there was going to be something dangerous. Aha! Maybe a doorbell. Let's get a doorbell. And if we can have the humans who aren't supposed to be there, the ones who really should not be there, we'll get them to ring a doorbell. So we'll put a lock on the door so that they have to knock or ring a bell. Yeah, let's do that. And that's really what's evolved. Obviously not quite as I'm saying, but if you think about it, dogs realize that when the doorbell rings, and that means there's a stranger. Who in the world would ring their own bell and then come in the house? Well, that's what you have to start doing. Now, granted, Halloween is tomorrow, but if you're able to start that even now, knock on your door, leave the door open, knock on the door, ring the bell. Get your dog used to the fact that you are going in and out and that you can ring it 100 times and it doesn't matter, because no matter if you're ringing the bell or not, or a stranger's ringing the bell, it's the same thing. Doesn't mean anything. Same thing with knocking. It's getting your dog used to the fact that people can come in and out through whatever entry or exit of your house. So if you have people coming over and they're strangers, have them come in through the garage. You come in through the front door. Go out one door, come in another door. Go out the side door, come in the garage door. Go out the garage door, come in the front door. Knock and ring. Make a lot of noise when you go in and out. So your dog will start to realize that there's nothing to worry about and that he's not in any danger. He doesn't have to provide for your needs. He doesn't have to protect you. Hey, buddy, thanks so much, but I got it. I'm good here. I got everything under control. So you can just be my little buddy, and you don't have to worry about it because I've got your back. So that's a great way to start getting your dog used to whatever possibly could happen on Halloween or when the kids are coming around for anything. Now, people say to me, well, Janice, wait, but I like when my dog barks. I want people to know I have a dog. Believe me, if somebody's coming in with the wrong energy, your dog's going to bark. Same thing as I've got all my dogs here. And if I open the door and they get up and they bark once or twice, I don't discipline them. I don't get upset with them. That's good. I want them to bark a couple times. I just don't want them to bark 8,000 times like many of your dogs do. We just want the dog to be our doorbell. Bing, bong. Hey, mom, somebody's at the door. That's all the doorbell should be, an alert to them to let you know that you have to answer the doorbell. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purspraypet.com. That's purspraypet.com. purspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about Halloween and just in general when we have the fall snap. Now, we'll be changing our clocks and it's going to be harder for everybody to get that hunt, wait, eat in there in the afternoon before dark. Lately, I've been having quite a few people who've been calling me and asking for my help in working with their dogs with new behavioral issues that seem to be starting with visual occurrences, and especially at night. Now, if you have a dog who's of the herding or sporting breeds, particularly the herding breeds, Aussie mixes, cattle dog mixes, Shelties, Sheltie mixes, any of those dogs, the heelers, the dogs that typically move animals around, move cows around, goats around, sheep around, chickens around, whatever it is, by nipping or by putting their heads down and nipping or kind of bumping with their nose, those dogs are actually bred for OCD. It's part of what they're bred for. You breed them to be very visual. In other words, to look at things and to notice things. And it's not a bad thing, but a lot of times people will take a laser pointer or something like that. They'll play with the reflection of their watch on the wall. And sometimes you are doing a lot of damage because the dog now, who was already bred to be very visually aware, or it was a mixed breed, but they a lot of them have that same propensity and those same characteristics toward being very visual. So we don't want to use a laser pointer. You can mess with your cat with a laser pointer. I don't do cats. Cats are good for some people. I don't do the cats. I hear cats, you can play with them with a laser pointer, but you can't do that with dogs. It makes them phobic, it makes them OCD, and it makes them actually look for everything. And if you've got a rescue dog, especially if you have one that you've gotten after 4 to 5 months of age when it's starting its fear impact phase, the first one, you sometimes don't know that somebody else might have done that, or they might have done some kind of a training. A lot of people think it's really funny, like, oh, look at the little, look at him chase the light. Well, now you have Halloween here, and you have children who have little reflectors on their clothing, or they're walking with a little tiny flashlight, and you don't realize all of a sudden your dog or a dog goes after the child or the light because it's been trained. And it's also genetically kind of predisposed to being very visual. So you can see where it can be a problem. You also have a lot of times when you have a herding breed where a child might have a piece of food or something in his or her hand, and the dog might assume that it's okay to grab that. Again, they're bred, and there are some great, awesome, awesome dogs in the herding breed, but you really have to be aware that we don't want to encourage that behavior unless your dog is a working dog. You're on a farm, and it's a working farm, and now here you are, enjoying the dog, doing the herding of the sheep or the grouse or whatever you've got on your farm. But for most dogs who are in, New York or New Jersey or Connecticut or Massachusetts or, somewhere in our area where they're in a home, we don't want to encourage that unless you've got an outlet for the dog to do so. So again, it's very, very important to think ahead and not to do things that could potentially cause problems on a time period like Halloween or at Thanksgiving where, we have something where you have a rack of lamb and there's a little cute little thing there, or there's a turkey with something sparkly or shiny. So again, you know, be aware and be careful and be smart. Now, talking about Halloween decorations and Halloween foods and things, we all know that it's obviously very important to keep dogs away from chocolate and onions and mushrooms and macadamia nuts, which can cause 24-hour temporary paralysis of a dog, in case you didn't know that. And it's only a few of them can put a pretty good-sized dog into a temporary paralysis. And I had a client who actually had that happen with her dog, where the dog, and it was a really cute pit bull, but had started out extremely, extremely food aggressive, extremely like off the wall. And what wound up happening is, you know, her dog had grabbed her little bucket of trail mix and had eaten some of the peanuts and some of the M&Ms or whatever chocolate was in it, which wasn't enough to hurt the dog. But it did have macadamia nuts in it. And unfortunately, she called me about 2 o'clock in the morning and was just hysterical. And she thought that maybe the dog had fallen off the bed or the dog had injured herself or something obviously must have happened because the dog is paralyzed. And I questioned her, and I asked her, did you have any kind of, you know, nut mixes or anything? She says, I had trail mix for dinner. I was snacking on that, and I don't like macadamia nuts. She looked at the ingredients, and sure enough, there were probably a half a dozen macadamia nuts, and this dog was one of those who reacted to it, and the dog was somewhat paralyzed pretty much for the day. She did take the dog to the veterinarian, and they confirmed it and said, nope, we'll just let it kind of take its course, and it should be okay. So, you know, there are things that we don't think of. We're very careful with our children with candy, but make sure, especially if you do have kids, or even if you don't have kids, just remember when you're going to walk your dog tomorrow or for the next few weeks, be aware that there could be candy or chocolate or wrappers or something that could potentially be picked up by your dog as you're walking, especially if you have a breed of dog or a combination of breeds of dog that like to put things in their mouth and chew things, like Labs and Goldens and those kind of dogs who tend to put things in their mouth. So be aware, because there could be a chocolate bar on the ground and your Maltese might grab that chocolate bar, and it might be enough, especially if it's a dark chocolate or high cocoa content, that it could really get sick. The other thing that everybody's starting to do now in the fall again is putting mulch down. Now, be careful, of course, as well as that, because we know that mulch, it's not all okay. Anything that's got the dyes or colors in it, you got to be careful. And there is something called cocoa mulch. It's actually cocoa bark mulch, and it has quite a high concentration of cocoa, of chocolate, and the toxins that are in chocolate that can hurt your dog. So if the dog tends to chew on the mulch, you know, you can have a big problem with your dog. So, again, be aware of what's out there when you're walking your dog. Also, chemicals and pesticides that people spray to try to get rid of things that are, you know, grubs and things like that. So just be aware when you're walking and when you've got your dog, and also with Halloween, with all the wrappers and candies and things laying around that children might potentially, you know, drop, especially little kids, dropping, you know, some chocolate bars or whatever. Just be careful when you're walking that you keep an eye on the ground and just make sure that your dog isn't picking anything up that could potentially be harmful. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to acclimate your child and your dog, or your dog and your child, to the holiday and to the ghosties and goblins. And as you're walking around with Halloween decorations and, oh, my Lord, it's going to be Christmas soon. You know, there are a lot of things that could potentially set your dog off, and we're going to go through easy ways that you can prevent them. So stay tuned, because we will be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And hey, Pam, I did not forget your shout-out. I know you're probably one of the few people out there who can actually tell which of my shows is on when, and you know everything I talk about. And I just wanted to give you a big shout-out. Prince and Sedona will be up in a couple of weeks for you guys. They'll just let me know and give me a buzz. So let's go back to talking about Halloween and the holiday season and how you can keep your pet safe for all those things that are going to have potentially happen. Now, one of the things that happens and we were talking about is when people are coming into your home because you have a holiday party. So you might have people that you don't know super well. You don't know if your dog is going to be good or not. And just people think, I think, unfortunately, that because their dog is good with a few select people, that it's okay for him to be completely, unattended when you have, guests coming over. Now, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes what will happen is there might be a person who's got a strange energy or who maybe isn't really a dog lover. Or who gets down in the dog's face. You know, people do pretty stupid things. You don't need my show to tell you that. We know that. Just drive for a few minutes. You'll see. It happens. But what happens is when you're bringing people into your home, and especially trick-or-treaters who are going to be coming to the front door and leaving, it's very similar to what happens when you have the mailman come or the delivery person come. People are coming up. And it's not only kids. You say, oh, my dog's great with little kids. Guess what? Little kids have a lot of parents who come with them. They have maybe a dog who comes with them. I mean, pretty much every Halloween that I've ever been out trick-or-treating, which is all but 2 years that I've been out trick-or-treating, you see a lot of dogs. I used to bring my dogs, when I was a little kid, I brought my dog. But if your dog isn't the greatest with dogs and you're bringing your dog around, or if you are going to keep your dog there for Halloween, you're opening a door, just, don't assume that there's only going to be humans there. There may be, some little kid who's bringing his dog trick-or-treating, and it's fun. So make sure that if you say, oh, yeah, my dog's great with children, great with people, doesn't really like dogs, you never know when there's going to be a dog potentially on your doorstep, and now your dog's going to jump out and go nail the other dog. Or that dog might be not the greatest dog in the world. So if your dog isn't the best in the world with either kids or with, animals or certain types of people, let him stay in the back. Let him hang out. It's only one day a year. It's like Independence Day. When 4th of July, we talk about it every year. People are always bringing their dogs to fireworks, and you know what? It's not really great for their ears, and, same thing with Halloween. People have some really cool decorations, and sometimes those really, really cool decorations, when you walk by, they're motion-activated, and they have those sensors, and all of a sudden, it goes, and now your dog gets scared, and there's a little kid running up, and the dog bites the kid, and why do we want that to happen? So it's one day a year. We'll try to be, as safe as we possibly can. And, you know, be careful. Now, also, the fact that Halloween is, you know, this year is on a weekend makes it a little bit crazier, because now, instead of it just being, you know, after school, the kids are going to probably be starting at noontime. So now I know for me, I leave the lights out and hope everybody leaves us alone. But I love what they're doing now with the trunk or treat. It's a great idea because, you know, first of all, if you're in, especially if you're in an affluent neighborhood, you know, there can be quite a bit of space between houses. And here you are, you know, traipsing around and trying to get candy from strangers. You know, and yes, it can definitely, you know, be a laborious effort. But the trunk or treat that they're doing in a lot of towns, I think it's really wonderful. Because this way, they can, the kids can see people. You know who they are. You know where the people are because they're, you know, they're, you're seeing them, their neighbors or whatever. And it's great because it's a nice, safe way of all of the children getting to know each other and being in a safe environment where you can kind of keep an eye on them and make sure nobody's going to steal your child. One year we had a child who kind of disappeared. They did find him, but it was a little boy, he was about 7 or 8, who was separated, and this was in the next town from me. He was in the next town from me. He was trick-or-treating with his friend. His friend went home. He decided to stay out a little, and he couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years of age, and he got lost. He didn't know where he was, and, you know, here he is trying to find his way, and it's getting dark. It was a whole mess. So obviously, you know, as parents, you have to make sure that you've got those children attended to. But also, if you do have a dog, make sure that the dog is secured so that if somebody opens the door, and this happens a lot, you know, sometimes the kids go up and they'll actually open the door. They're not waiting for you to answer it. They kind of try the door to see if there's anybody there. And as well as very often there'll be kind of tricky things and silly things and scary things when you open the door. So be safe with your pets and be safe with your dog so that you don't wind up having something bad happen out of a fun holiday. All right, so let's talk about those of you who dress your dogs up in silly costumes and make them look all goofy and laugh at them. Yeah, I'm one of those people. Wyatt has a tuxedo. He's got a hand-me-down Elvis Presley costume. Fallon has a costume that she was in. She was Tigger one year. I've got, all of my dogs have been in different costumes. I know Wispa's got a hand-me-down that was a cheerleader costume. I had Angel dressed as a fairy one year, as an angel one year. She got a cheerleader. She was a cheerleader one year. So, yeah, you can put your dogs in goofy costumes. The fun thing is they don't know if it's a costume or if it's a coat to keep them warm. But make sure that if you do put your pet in a costume and walk around, make sure the dog isn't going to trip over it. And also, if it's not loose enough, be careful because it can really chafe and it can restrict their blood, blood supply under their arms especially. So if it's a human costume that you're using on a dog, just be careful because you can have their circulation cut off. Also, if your dog has any kind of hip issues or joint issues where it might be a little bit painful, you know, you should probably just limit the amount of actual walking that you're doing so that the dog doesn't wind up having a bad day or tripping or falling. And again, if a dog is feeling any kind of pain whatsoever, very often they're going to react unpredictably, potentially near a child. So if you do want to take your dog out, take him out, you know, in a little area, decide how far you're going to go, maybe make a loop around so your kids can take the dog out, but you go with them. Don't leave, even a 10-year-old child in charge of a dog because they're going out there, they're thinking of candy. They're not worried about things like you would worry about things because they're kids. So just be aware of all those things and make sure that, you know, no matter what happens, that they're at least properly supervised. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of some fun things that you can do for Halloween and with your dog. So please don't go away because we will be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And another shout-out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, and also to my wonderful friends at Rutgers in the Companion Animal Club, who, and for the Merlin's Kids group that we have started there, as well as the others around the country. You girls and guys are doing a great job, and we're just having so much fun training you to do the service dog things for other people. I did want to talk about that a little bit, because we are getting into the season of giving, and heck, November 1st is in, like, on Sunday. We're almost in November, folks. This is scary. So one of the nice things that I hear people ask all the time is, you know, how can my kids get involved in this? Janice, I love what you do. I love what Merlin's Kids does. I love what United Canine Professionals does. Tell me, how can my kids get involved? Well, you know, we do have a lot of people around the country and around the world who help us with dogs. We're actually going to be adopting a dog that was a stray in Aruba, and we're working with a wonderful rescue group down there who will talk more to them when Jade, Selvy, and I go down to Aruba to work with this group. Pretty neat people. And they're taking care of the dogs that are down there that need help that are just strays. So, you know, yeah, there's so many different things that you can do, and that's what's so great about what we do. You know, United Canine Professionals team members all around the country and all around the world dedicate themselves and their lives to helping people with dogs who have behavioral issues to live a better life with those dogs. And we do train people to do what I do. It's something that I've been doing for a very long time, and when I wrote my last book, Happens, Dog Behavior 101, which is actually available on Amazon for your Kindle, or you can download the free Kindle software onto any electronic device. One of the cool things that I put in it was a report from one of my earlier animal behavior classes when I got my one degree from, well, I got many of them from Columbia, but one of them was in animal behavior and genetics, and it's very cool because I've always been a student of animal behavior and of genetics, and I, even as a child, you know, I loved animals. I'd rather be with animals. I had my bunnies. I used to show my bunny rabbits. I was a rabbit show judge, and what's so cool about it is you guys have kids that you know love animals, and we always think, oh, my child should be a veterinarian. Well, you know, I was certainly smart enough. I could have gone to vet school. I could have done anything I wanted to do in that. But you know what? I didn't have the stomach for it. I certainly had the brain for it. But, you know, it's hard. I don't know that I could cut into an animal, and I think I'd have a real hard time losing them because I know how hard it is for me to lose my own pets. But when you have to, you know, sometimes you're going to lose. You can't save every animal. So what do people say? Well, oh, if you don't want to be a vet, you can be a business person. Well, there are so many other trades and other skills that if you love dogs, that you can get into. And that's one of the things I talk about at, like, Rutgers. I just spoke this week, and I'm going to be speaking at Monmouth and speak at Syracuse and up at Cornell, is all the different opportunities that kids actually have to do to work with dogs. You know, there's all kinds of things they can go into. if they're super smart and want to be a vet, that's great. And Jody always says, for a dollar a day, you can feed a starving vet student who's going to have $250,000 of debt when they get out of vet school. So, you know, the different things that children can do, especially when they're young, is volunteer in a shelter or volunteer. Now, a lot of the shelters won't let the kids volunteer till they're 14. We do allow at Merlin's Kids, we do allow a lot of the kids to do projects with either Girl Scouts or 4-H or, you know, any of the other groups, Boy Scouts, Explorer Scouts, all of them. And we do allow them to volunteer younger, but we're very selective with which dogs they get to interact. Now, remember, what our dogs with Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, we have dogs like Wyatt and Savannah and Wispa and Fallon and Lexi and, you know, Romeo and all of them, Bruiser and the whole group. So our dogs are super, super good, and we can teach the children those skills that they will be able to use later in life. But there are so many different things. We go through business skills with the kids. So, yeah, maybe they'd like to own a groomer or own a doggy daycare or, you know, be a dog walker, a pet sitter, be a vet tech, go into, you know, really specialized things like being a vet tech for an MRI machine or specific with oncology. There are so many different opportunities, so kids don't have to go to vet school in order to have a great career. They can become show dog handlers. You know how much show dogs get? You know how much the handlers get? It's crazy. Somewhere between $100 and $150 to run the dog around in a class for anywhere from 2 minutes to maybe a half hour, and they can do 15 or 20 dogs in a day. They make a lot of money. Or the groomers who specifically specialize in individual breeds and do this really amazing grooming for the show dogs or for, you know, assistants or kennel masters. There's just so many opportunities. Even if you have a child who's handy, he can get a job constructing kennels and dog kind of buildings. Architecture, you know, becoming an architect to be able to design these kind of buildings for dogs. There are so many things that there are opportunities for these children. And Merlin's Kids, and if your child is interested in volunteering or doing a project or doing a fundraiser, we always need help. And you can reach us at 855-HI-WYATT, 855-HI-WYATT, or also you can go on the website, merlinskids.org, merlinskids.org, and you'll see all the different opportunities. Also, you could have your child involved in becoming a canine behaviorist someday. That's a great opportunity, great field. And we have so many young people who have been following us around, and then when they get old enough, they go through our classes and they become canine behaviorists. Yes, you make a lot of money. I donate all of mine, but you do. You can make quite a bit, but that's not what the most important focus is. The important focus is you're helping people to work with their own dogs so that you don't have to have these people make a choice of their dog who bit a kid at Halloween, so they have to give the dog up or put the dog to sleep. Instead, we have one of our people from United Canine Professionals come over and work with that dog and that family, so now the dog is a great dog and doesn't have any other issues. So that's something, that's another great career for kids as they grow up, and we do have kind of junior steps to do that as well. And that's 855-4K, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-459-7767. And that's a great opportunity as well. Or you can go on the web at www.unitedk9professionals.com. We are happy to help you and even work with your kids and teach them. It's a fun thing, great opportunity to help dogs, because we are so sick of having 4 million dogs euthanized every single year. Every single year, there's 4 million more dogs dead, and that's just a travesty. And we have people who continue to breed these mixed breed designer disasters. They have no care whatsoever if anything happens to their dog. So let's get together and help to save more dogs. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Going to give a second shout out to my good friend Pam, who's eagerly awaiting Sedona, and her good friends who are awaiting Princey to be hanging out with them, keeping them snugly warm at night. And a little shout out for my little buddy Mona, little Mona Lisa, who's the most adorable little basset you ever saw in your whole life. And give her a big kiss for me, Pam, because I love little Mona. She's so cute. So we're going to have a question from one of our listeners right now. And actually, it's a very good question. I get a lot of this, especially at this time of year, and for some reason, I guess there's either snowstorms or no cable TV. We tend to get people, young people, getting pregnant at certain times of the year. And for whatever reason, lots of these kids seem to be born between December and March. So what do you do when you've got, like, this young couple who contacted me, emailed me and asked me if I could come and work with them? Their dog is perfectly well-behaved, no issues, the dog doesn't have accidents in the house, there's no marking, great with other dogs, great with other animals, perfect with people, doesn't do anything wrong, isn't excessively barking. And a young couple, and they said they'd like to work with one of our behaviorists. I'm actually close to them, so I'm going to be working with them. And they said, you know, we just want to make sure there are no surprises. Our dog is super well-behaved and super well-trained. We just want to make sure that we're setting the dog up the right way. Like I always say, set the dog up for success, not for failure. And part of the reason that we're going to be doing that is to make sure that the dog is going to understand what is expected of him or her, and also so that the child is going to be safe and be in a good environment where we don't have to worry at some point that, you know, the dog is going to do something and, you know, the child is going to get hurt or something's going to happen. So, again, it's really just about preparing. And what do you do when you're preparing your house for a baby? We always joke about baby-proofing it, right? But really, babies aren't the problem. It's toddlers and up. Because when the child's a baby, for the first, you know, 8 or so months of the child's life, he's not really on the ground. They might be doing a little crawling, but you're right there, and you're being very aware if you're a good parent. So you don't really have a problem. But when puppies are little, puppies chew. So we have to puppy-proof right away. When little kids, when babies are born, especially in the winter, they're snuggled up. They're usually in a little, you know, snuggly bassinet. They're comfy, cozy. So when they start getting into that crawling phase, and this is what the question is about, what can they do to make sure that as the baby grows and starts to crawl and get up and walk, that the dog doesn't start to herd them, because their dog is a mix, they believe, of a heeler and possibly either a Jack Russell or Fox Terrier. So it's a great question because it can be a really great dog. But when you have a little child who resembles a lamb or resembles, you know, kind of another animal potentially because it's on the ground, and especially if you guys dress your kids in some of the cute little outfits, it almost does look like the child could be a little four-legged little puppy. especially with some of the cute little fluffy things that we put on our kids, the fleece and the down parka kind of things with the fur lining. And it can look like or even smell like another animal. So we want to create the bubble. And the bubble, not like the tiniest bubble in the world, but one of my dogs, but it's really a bubble of space around the baby. So many things in life could be prevented if people were to do this. So let's imagine you have your baby, and you have your baby eating in a high chair. So let's say the baby's a little bit older, but not crawling yet, but sitting up kind of unassisted, and your dog goes underneath and basically scrounges for all the food that's under the baby's high chair. Now, don't you think that there's a pretty good chance that the dog might decide, hey, that's my high chair, that's all my food that falls on the floor. And potentially when that child is not now in the high chair and is lower down to the dog instead of being up very high in the high chair, now the dog looks at it as, hey, you're crawling towards my gravy train, and now you could potentially have problems. So we want to teach the dog right away from the very beginning that there's a certain areas that he or she is not allowed to go. Not that we're angry, not that we're upset, but these are the areas that you are not allowed to go because they do not belong to you. We're not upset with the dog. We're just teaching the dog that it's not allowed to be in those certain areas. You think about it. Were you, when you were a little kid, or 5 years old, were you allowed to run into your parents' room whenever you wanted? Probably not. Maybe your mom or dad was changing, or maybe they were, you know, doing something or paying bills, or they were shaving or whatever they were doing. They didn't want you guys there. So you would have to ask permission to come into the room. Same thing we want to do with the dog. Teach them that they have to be invited into certain locations or around certain things like a high chair. When mom is breastfeeding or mom is, you know, even giving the baby a bottle, the dog doesn't have to be sticking its nose right up there in the baby's face, even if it's the best dog in the world. They don't need to be exposed to those kind of germs. So again, we just have to set some basic rules. Now, I will be going to their home and I'll be teaching them the baby bubble. And it's very cool, and I do go into that in my book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101, available on Amazon for your Kindle or get the free Kindle software. The other thing is make sure that your dog has the proper nutrition so that he's not hungry all the time. Now, if you feed your dog a good quality dog food, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, about what kind of foods are good and what kind of foods you should stay away from. But even if you're feeding a really good quality food, there's a good chance that your dog is still going to be kind of needing additional things, different nutrients. Like we all take vitamins, right? I take vitamins all the time. And, you know, that's good for us because we have to take care of ourselves. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, the potential is there that we're going to have nutritional deficits, potentially get sick, or really potentially just not feel well. So what we want to do is make sure that the dog doesn't kind of crave other things by giving him a top quality food. It doesn't have to be the most expensive food, and don't go crazy on the high protein, but you should seriously consider using a top quality vitamin supplement. And if your dog is at all getting older or has not the best conformation, you should for sure be using some kind of a glucosamine and chondroitin supplement. Now, what I use and what all of our people at Merlin's Kids use on all of our foster dogs, because we want our service dogs to live a really, really long time and to be as healthy as possible for that entire life. So for Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, we all use NuVet, which is N-U-V-E-T, NuVet.com is the website, and we get, because we have Merlin's Kids, we get a code that actually allows you not only to buy the product, but to get a 15% off for auto ship. So it's really important because they're great vitamins. You can use the code 40560, and what you can do is look at the website, It's 40560newvet.com. And you can even call them up and ask them what would be best for your dog. So if you do have a dog with health issues or hip issues, and a baby could potentially land on that dog and hurt the dog, and then the dog could feel that, uh-oh, the baby hurt you, instead of thinking like, oh, I have bad hips, you know, we can potentially avert a big disaster. So it is really important, you know, especially to keep dogs from begging at the table and, you know, doing other things because they're hungry. Get them on a great vitamin supplement like the NuVet. Oh, I can't believe it's time is up already. So we're going to have to go, and we'll see you next week. Take good care of your pets. Take my Halloween tips, and please use them. They could save you a lawsuit or a lot of agita. Have a wonderful, healthy, happy week and a great weekend, and have good time with your dog. Bye-bye.